Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So some time ago, I heard the story of this young couple. They were married. They felt very much called to the missions. They accepted that call. They went off into the missions of Africa. They served there for decades upon decades. They raised their children in the missions. Their children became adults, came back to the United States, but they continued into their older age to preach the gospel, to share the Christian way of life. And in their older ages, they began to suffer from various health complications. They decided it was time to return. So they bounded everything up, and they were finally leaving this place in Africa that had been their home for so many decades in order to return to the United States. They get there to the airport, they get on the plane, and as it turns out, on that very plane at that exact time was some noted author, an esteemed diplomat who just published some book. And as they arrive in the United States, there's all the press corps waiting to greet this author. And the flashing of the cameras and the banners and the welcome and the quick questions and so on. Everybody wanted to speak to this diplomat. Everybody wanted to ask her questions about her book and all these things and so on. And as soon as all that flurry passed, here's this couple, old, in bad health, who had given their entire lives in service to other people. And there was no one. There's no one at the airport. In fact, they had to walk in. When they asked for a taxi, they were told just Uber it. And they didn't know what that meant. Right? You know? And the wife turns to her husband and says, you know, after all these decades, I didn't expect a parade, but I thought there would be something to welcome us when we finally came home. Her husband looks at her and says, oh, honey, we're not home yet. Right? We're not home yet. You wait for the glory of the celebration that awaits the righteous in paradise, huh? That's exactly what St. Paul is speaking about today. He's reminding us the fight is worth it. The suffering is worth it. Whatever we can endure as we wait for the glorious coming of our Lord Jesus, we should be ready. And if we should die before he returns, then he will greet us with that same level of glory as, please God, we all enter paradise. Our task is to remain faithful, to not allow the things of this world to sway our souls, to distract us, to make us compromise or to accommodate to evil. It's difficult. Just sit down and talk about marriage being between one man and one woman for life. That used to be a standard, decent conversation in the West. Now, you're waging war with every type of group, the pro-divorce people, the pro-gay people, the pro-transgender people. A simple statement, marriage is between one man and one woman for life. Or how about this, that the unborn are persons and merit the legal protection of the law. Oh, that's another big battle, right? And dear friends, the list goes on. But we are called to say such things, for they are true. We are called to speak the truth in love and to suffer the consequences in a fallen age. You see, there's a power in truth. And when we don't speak truth, then that power is not released. Oftentimes we're afraid. Well, what are they going to say? What's going to be the reaction? We're so worried we're going to lose our respectability or lose friends. And what we have to ultimately realize is if we're doing that, then we've sacrificed the Lord for the things of this earth. And the things of this earth, they might be loud and sometimes celebratory, but they pass, and they do not go with us into eternity. So which one, for whom, and which way of life are we willing to live, and are we willing to suffer for? We have to remind ourselves that we are Christians. We have been very spoiled over the past couple hundred years that the West just happened to match our moral life. But for the vast majority of church history, it has always been the Christians who have been persecuted. Because we've defended the vulnerable, the weak, because we've argued for marriage, because we've defended family, because we argued for chastity, because we argued for virtue, because we're pro-family. The list goes on. Pick any one of issues, any number of issues, and we've always been the subject of persecution. We've just been spoiled the past couple of years, centuries, which is why we've become very soft, very soft. In fact, so much so that we're willing to sacrifice the saving glory of Jesus Christ for the respectability of our neighbors. How sick is that? How misguided is that? Today, the Thessalonians, they're nervous, they're worried, because they thought Jesus was going to come back in their age, in their time. but the first generation beginning to die, and they're nervous. Is Jesus coming back? When's he coming back? And because of that, a lot of people started engaging into some real darkness, either some real bad vice, mainly sexual sin, but some just started getting lazy. St. Paul calls them busybodies. We know those people, huh? They're so worried about everybody else. It's like, my goodness, right? Why don't you tone it down, turn that to prayer. If you talk to God as much as you talk about everybody else, you'd be a saint, right? He also describes those who are no longer willing to work. Like, what's the point? He's not coming back, right? And St. Paul says, if they don't work, don't give them food. They shouldn't eat. St. Paul is addressing a whole number of things in the community of the Thessalonians. Those same issues in one form or another, can be found today as we await the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. But the proper response, in spite of all these sinful ways, the proper response is to remain faithful, to continue to seek holiness, to follow and be faithful to the way of the Lord Jesus, to speak the truth in love, and to wait for the glorious return of our Savior, the return of Jesus Christ.